To start out our program, a long-standing dispute within a Lansing church has captured public attention for several months. Friendship Baptist Church on Pleasant Grove Road is a house divided, two congregations, each with its own pastor and governance boards, are asserting their claim to the building. But the doors to the church have been barred since June, and neither side has since held services there. The conflict can be traced back to 2007, when the church voted to enact a new constitution. That document included contract provisions for church employees, including the pastor. Supporters said the contract provisions were necessary to keep the church financially solvent. They say the schism erupted when the then-sitting pastor refused to sign his contract and urged others to do the same. That was 7 years ago. This summer, the Lansing Fire Marshal ordered the church closed because of continued vandalism from both factions. The question before the community now is, when and how will all this come to an end? I am joined today by three members from one of the congregations. The Reverend Dr. Clyde Carnegie is the current pastor. Welcome, Dr. Carnegie. Mr. Donald Suttles is chairman of the Board of Trustees. Welcome, sir. And Mr. James Yarborough chairs the Deacon Board. Each of these men represents the 8:30 a.m. congregation at Friendship Baptist Church. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
And Current State has, we'll also point out, we have invited members of the second congregation at Friendship Baptist to participate in the discussion this week. Despite our repeated attempts, that group has failed to respond to our request. Let's get some background here first, Mr. Suttles. When was Friendship Baptist Church established? And tell us about your congregation. Who attends Friendship Baptist?
Well, Friendship Baptist Church was established in 1934, we've been an active congregation since then. We established our first ecclesiastical corporation in 1937. And since then, we've had a number of locations, mostly all on the near central west side of the city. And we have since moved in 2003 to our location presently where we're located.
Now, when people like Reverend Maxwell, Dave Maxwell, says that Friendship Baptist is one of the most influential churches in Lansing, why does he say that? Jim Yarborough, can you answer that?
Well, Friendship Baptist Church historically has played a significant role in the life of the Lansing community, dealing with church affairs as well as community affairs. We have participated in trying to be of service to the community, providing assistance with food bank kinds of activities, reaching out to community children, establishing mentoring programs. We have been influential in the life of the community, dealing with social issues as well. And that has been longstanding, and it is something that we are still committed to and engaged in to the extent that we are able to do so.
And with regard to the current disagreement, the core of the current disagreement appears to be whether to adopt a new constitution that would require a review of the contracts of church employees, including the pastor's contract. And this dates to 2007, back when Reverend Stone was the pastor. Is that accurate?
That is true, but that issue has been settled by there having been three separate votes adopting the 2007 Constitution, and that took place when there was not a split in the church.
Okay, then clarify for us, if you will, what divides Friendship Baptist Church today?
Today, we are divided as a result of residual effects of some of the earlier constitutional issues, some of which you've mentioned, such as the contract requirements. Others include provisions of the Constitution affecting the who would moderate our business meetings. In practice, that had been the pastor. The 2007 Constitution provided that the moderator would be someone elected from the body on an annual basis at our business meeting, and that person would not necessarily any longer be the pastor. And the 2007 Constitution also strengthened the role of our trustee board in managing the fiscal affairs of our church.
Dr. Carnegie, let's bring you into this. It seems your church has a great deal of autonomy in that decisions such as electing a pastor are made by the congregation. Is there any kind of authority within the Baptist church hierarchy that you need to adhere to? And is there any higher authority that you can go to in the larger Baptist church that might help you resolve this dispute? And have you tried, have you sought out that path?
The church is entirely autonomous. The controlling body of the church resides in its members. And so there is no hierarchy that we adhere to above the organization of the church. We are an entirely autonomous group. We are, in fact, affiliated with organizations, but they have no jurisdiction over us other than our affiliation, such as the Chain Lake Missionary Baptist Church Association, the Wolverine State Congress, the Congress of Christian Education, the National Baptist Association. These are affiliate groups that we participate in the activities of our church on a regional and national level. But our church is an autonomous organization, and the authority resides in the body of the church. They elect the pastor, they elect the officers, and they receive any or all decisions that must be made.
Our guests today on Current State are three members from one of the congregations of the Friendship Baptist Church in Lansing. You just heard Reverend Dr. Clyde Carnegie, the current pastor. We're also joined by Mr. Donald Suttles, chairman of the Board of Trustees, and Mr. James Yarborough, who chairs the Deacon Board. There's a document that was originally published way back, 1903, called the Hiscox Standard Baptist Manual. Does it offer any guidance about resolving these problems?
It does. I can say, you know, it talks about private and public offenses, and it gives, different methods that you can go about trying to resolve your conflicts. And Hiscox, it is just a guide, but in Hiscox, it refers right back to the Bible, and we've tried to follow Hiscox and Scripture. You know, one particular area of Scripture would be Matthew 18. You know, when we have what we consider a sinning brother, you know, it talks about going to that person, trying to resolve your issues, and then if you cannot resolve your issues with that brother, do you go back with another or take two? And then if you still can't resolve that issue, then what you do is you then take it before the church, okay, the congregation. And as been stated, we are a congregational form of church. And then the church makes the decision as to what to do about the conflict.
Have you lost any congregants since this dispute began?
We have.
Okay. Has it been significant?
We were losing members for a long period of time, even before the conflict. Okay. But one thing I'd like to say is that we've gained some members since the conflict. Just last Sunday, we brought in two brand new members into our congregation.
Is that related to the dispute?
Or, no.
Strictly.
Strictly, yeah.
If I may, I would like to add a couple of comments to what Deacon Suttles has just said. You know, we are at the point that we are now after having a long history over several years of trying to reach out to our brothers and sisters in the 10 o'clock congregation to resolve the differences that we have. We have made many outreach attempts. We have been willing to engage in mediation. to try to resolve our differences. Our efforts at outreach have been rebuffed repeatedly. We have reached the point where last November at our annual business meeting, our congregation declared that we have done everything that we can think of, including the things that Deacon Suttles has referred to that you would find in Hiscock, in our scriptures, to resolve our differences, and that's all been done to no avail. And our congregation reached the point where they said, enough is enough. For several years now, we have been exploited by members of our by members of the 10 o'clock congregation in terms
how,
of...
How have you been exploited?
I will like to share that with you. The majority of the responsibility for managing the affairs of our church has been placed upon our congregation. The mortgage that we pay is a hefty one because we have a beautiful new facility, and it's a hefty mortgage. We, for the last 4.5 years, have been solely responsible for paying that mortgage. Not a single penny has been contributed by the 10 o'clock congregation towards that. Not only the mortgage, the overwhelming operational cost of operating and managing the affairs of our church has been assumed and borne by our congregation. All of this, and they still seek to be entitled to the full use of the church, and our congregation has said, no, we've tried to resolve our differences. We've asked you to participate in taking care of the responsibilities of the church, and you have not done so, refused to do so, and we have reached the point where we're saying enough is enough. We will no longer be exploited and made use of and misused in this way. And
where is communication today? What kind of communication do you have, if any, with the other side, the last couple of months?
The final, most important communication is that we communicated to the leadership of the 10 o'clock congregation that because of this longstanding, unresolved dispute we have, and based upon the reasons that I've just shared, we are taking steps to end the convening authority of the 10 o'clock congregation at Friendship Baptist Church. What that means is that as of the date that we notified them, they would then no longer be able to hold worship services, meetings, or any other activity at Friendship Baptist Church. We were not trying to place anyone out of the church. That was not our goal at all. What we were saying was that we intended to have a unified church under one pastor, under one governing board, with persons who were in support of our governing document that was duly ratified by our congregation. And that's how we intended to go forward.
A lot of this appears to be about the building. Is there a date at which you expect the church to reopen?
Well, we have been trying to work with the city officials and the fire marshals to get the building open. As a matter of fact, this past Monday, we had a time set up for us to have the building inspected by the fire marshals. But unbeknownst to us, Bishop Maxwell invited members of the other congregation to come to the inspection. And then Bishop Maxwell also indicated that the mayor said that we could not have that inspection unless the other side participated. And we were not willing to let that happen. And so they said...
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Because of what Deacon Yarbrough just said.
You've assumed responsibility for the mortgage.
For the entire operations of the church.
Well, it's been reported that the other side is picking up the costs of utilities and other such things.
Well, I could explain that too, but I just want to stick with the inspection. We've been ready for the inspection. For instance, the other side, we spent thousands of dollars correcting damage that has been done to our church by the other side. Okay, and then they now want to come in on the inspection to look at what they have damaged, you know. So there's something wrong with that picture. And so we were the ones, our congregation, that was fined for these violations. We've corrected these violations. We've been trying to work with the city officials to get them, get our church open. But I guess according to the mayor, that we can't get that inspection unless the other side participates.
What is your most desired outcome here? If you could write the script for how this dispute got resolved, what kind of script would you write?
Well, from the very beginning,
this is James Yarborough.
From the very beginning, our hope and desire was that we would be able to resolve our differences and reconcile so that we would again be one unified congregation serving our members, serving God, and serving the Lansing community. That has been our hope from the very beginning. But our efforts to achieve that outcome have been thwarted repeatedly along the way. So I won't say that we've abandoned that hope, but we have moved past it to say there are some things before us now that we have to do to move our church forward.
Reverend Carney.
In the question of mediation, I'd also want the community to know that Bishop Maxwell is not a member of Friendship Baptist Church. He has not been assigned by the church body to mediate anything at Friendship Baptist Church, and he is the bishop over some denomination, but not the Baptist denomination, and certainly not our church. And so he has no jurisdiction over us in any way, and we would want the community to understand that he is not a bishop over Friendship Baptist Church.
Let's clarify the city's role in this, and we're referring to Bishop Dave Maxwell, who leads the Mayor's Office of Community and Faith-Based Initiatives here. The city has served as something of a mediator in this dispute. Here is Bishop Maxwell in July here on Current State explaining his and the city's role in this dispute.
We do not have a standing mediatorial role with that church. We have been asked on several occasions, and when there is one side feels that they are not being properly treated by city officials or whatever, they will call my office to register that complaint and try to get a word to the mayor or to the police chief or to the powers that be. But there is no standing mediation that is in place. We are operating basically at the request of the members of Friendship Baptist Church.
Is one of you willing to summarize how you feel about the city's involvement in this? Mr. Suttles?
Well, I'd like to say that I think the city is, you know, as Bishop Maxwell just said, they have not been able to, they haven't been invited to mediate, at least on our part, by our congregation, to mediate our situation. And I believe the city has been more of a hindrance than a help. We have attempted to hold our services in peace and harmony, and the city officials, including the Lansing Police Department and others, have been at our church while we're trying to do that, and they have done nothing, you know, which is, according to our understanding, even against the current ordinances and laws that are on the books. So we don't feel that the city has been very helpful in in helping us resolve our situation.
Yes, Reverend
As
Carnegie.
As the pastor of Friendship Baptist Church, I have not registered any complaint with Bishop Maxwell at all.
You intend to end the convening authority of the other faction. How are your parishioners, are your congregants, is the your congregation behind that move? Do they support that?
It was the decision of our congregation to end the convening authority. It was not the pastor's decision,
the
deacon's decision, or the trustee's decision. It was the decision by our congregation to end the convening authority of the 10 o'clock congregation for the reasons that we have given you.
And how exactly do you intend to end that? How will you make that happen?
Through the measures that we have taken, including which said that they would no longer be able to hold worship services.
How is
meetings.
That enforced, though? That I think that's what I'm.
That's what we're working through right now.
Okay.
And securing the building is a part of how that will be enforced.
And why is it important, in your views, to make this place whole again? What does Lansing as a community lose?
At one point, we were a unified church coming together to serve God, to serve one another, having wonderful fellowship with one another on a regular basis. That has all been negatively affected, very negatively affected by the schism which has developed. And it would be wonderful, wonderful, and I believe one day it will happen. I may not live to see it, but one day this matter will be resolved because I don't believe that it is consistent with what God would have us to do as Christians, to uplift Him and serve Him and worship Him. So it's going to be resolved one way, someday. Our hope, my hope would be that it would happen soon so that we could again return to the reason why we existed in the first place, and that is to glorify God in Jesus Christ, to evangelize to the lost, to teach and train believers, and to help the needy and oppressed through God's Word and through the aid of the Holy Spirit. We have many ministries in place that we have practiced for a long time in order to help us to achieve that particular mission. And we're doing it today, even though we cannot right now work and have worship service in our church sanctuary. We nonetheless hold services at Friendship Baptist Church every Sunday, and we're engaged in all of our ministries to carry out our mission as I've just stated it.
Reverend Carnegie, what do you hope for?
Well, certainly Deacon Yarbrough has given us the mission, and being a long-standing member, I've been a member of Friendship Baptist Church for over 47 years, 22 as an associate minister, and in those years, we have seen Lansing become a great city, a wonderful city in this nation, and we want to continue that legacy that started when the church was first organized, and I think everyone in the community would say that we, in all aspects of this community, have helped make Lansing a better city, and we want to continue that legacy because the people of this community are just wonderful, and I'm looking forward to the day when we will be able to say thank you to the community, and we're saying it now for your support, your understanding in this matter. Certainly it's not going to go on forever. And Lansing is an interesting community. They remember your contributions not in a month or 2 months, but over a long period of years. Many of us have given a great deal of service to the community, and we're continuing to do it. And it goes outside the bounds of the church. It's into the neighborhoods, and it's into the people that need the assistance.
We've been joined today by three members from one of the congregations of Lansing's Friendship Baptist Church. You just heard the Reverend Dr. Clyde Carnegie, the current pastor, also Mr. Don Suttles, chairman of the Board of Trustees, and Mr. James Yarborough, who chairs the Deacon Board. Thanks for joining us, and good luck.